Blog Talk Radio.
God bless each and every one of us tonight. Hello there, wherever you're at, on whatever coast you're at. God bless you. We love to be in the presence of the Lord. I invite you to come, take a moment, and just put everything aside for a moment. Let's just together say thank you, Jesus. Now, I know you may be on your job. I know we have a lot of nighttime listeners. You may be busy doing something in your car. I don't want you to disturb yourself from driving. I just want you to take a moment and just, in your heart, just thank you, Jesus, because he's so good. He's so good. His love is everlasting. And we're just in his presence, and we just thank God for every detail that he has brought before us today. And hopefully that we have found ourselves in a situation where we can love on ourselves, love on others, and find joy in the Lord. We're talking today about that. Being in that right place, you know, that right place, that divine place, that where you can get a revelation from the Lord. Think about it, you need a revelation from the Lord. You need to get somewhere and just find and say, I just need a moment to myself. I need to talk to the Lord. I just need a moment to myself. I don't want to talk about the situation right now. I know it's bad. I don't want to talk about what's going on and how it don't seem like a way out of it right now. I don't even want to talk about that right now. I just want to find that time that I can just talk to the Lord. You know, sometimes we have to say, I don't want to talk about anything else. But can we just talk, change the subject? Can we just talk about something that has nothing to pertain with? It doesn't pertain anything that I'm going through. Any heartache, any pain. Sometimes we just want to remove all of that in the back corners of our mind and just talk about the sunshine. Talk about the goodness of the Lord. And that's what I'm inviting you to do today. To just take some time and forget about the pain. Forget about the bills that are due. Forget about what he said or she said to you. Let's just forget about that. And let's just take a few moments and just pray and just talk about the love of the Lord and get ourselves in a right position so that we can hear from the Lord about those situations, so that we can find out, are we walking into a failure zone? What is causing me to keep dropping and flopping in the same pinhole every time I go around this mountain? As things are beginning to look familiar to me now, I'm going around this mountain so many times. So we're just wanting to take a little time. So let's start out with prayer, shall we? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, oh, gracious God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for this opportunity to come and be in the presence of you, dear Father. My sisters and brothers all around the world, wherever they Father, letting nothing happen to them, dear Father, bringing forth your word into their mighty mind and letting your word be the word that speaks to their spirit to someone else that's in a negative situation, dear Father. Dear Father, I thank you, dear Father, that your love is a love that finds us and moves us out of the way of death, hope, hurt, harm, and danger, dear Father. It's a love that directs us into the wrong. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. We thank you, Jesus, for your power. We thank you, Jesus, for your strength. I thank you for your protection, dear Father. I thank you for watching over my family night and day, dear Father. As we rest, as we work, as we play, dear Father, you have angels camped all around us, and I thank you, dear Father. I thank you for our ministries, dear Father. I thank you for the love that draws us to you to want to more and more, know more about you, dear Father. Oh, I thank you that there is no heaven and no hell that man can put me in, but I can draw closer to you, and you wrap me up, and you're showing things, dear Father, that are secret to us, dear Father, and you will hide me in my time of need. I thank you, Jesus, for devouring the enemy for my sake. And in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I just decrease and invite you to come and increase, dear Father. Speak to your people like nobody else can, dear Father. Be with the sick and the shut-in, dear Father. Open up the minds of the lost and open up the eyes of the blind. Open up the ears of the deaf. May they hear your word and receive your word in the name of the Father. Hallelujah. In the name of the Son. praise the Lord. And in the name of the precious Spirit, we receive you right now. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. We receive you right now in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Deuteronomy is going to be coming from our scripture for today. Deuteronomy, and we're starting in verse 8. Deuteronomy and verse 8. And that's in the Old Testament, or the Tanakh. And Deuteronomy is a reveal. It gives us a reveal of the first four books of the Bible. So Deuteronomy is the fifth book of the Tanakh, and it kind of reveals everything that in the first four books of the Tanakh. Amen? Amen. So our scripture again is Deuteronomy 8, and it says, starting at verse 1, be careful to follow every command that I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Hallelujah. It says, be careful, sisters and brothers. Number 2, it says, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart. Whether or not what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his command. He humbles you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers nor had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Can I get an amen? Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, sisters and brothers, we do. We look around and there's so many flashy things. There's so many different ways of technology. It's just overruling, not just outside of the church, inside of the church. You have so much technology going on inside of the church that sometimes it makes us question, is it overruling the church? How many people are really, no one is even, they don't even have to worry about finding the books of the Bible anymore. You just push your number and it just pulls that book up for you, you know? What happens to the old times when you actually had to memorize this stuff? The verses, the chapters of the book. You had to know, if the preacher was telling you to go to Numbers, you had to know that that was in the Old Testament. And at this point, young and old, they have no idea where is that. So all they do is push a button and tell the technology pass, it takes me there, and there you are, right? You know? It used to be the preacher said, let me hold on for a minute and give everyone a chance to find it. And, you know, we don't have to do that anymore because the computers are finding it for us and they're reading it for us. And it used to be that you would mark up your Bible and you go through with your different highlights and you write notes in your Bible and it was teardrops in your Bible. And you could turn back to that page and you can remember the moment that you dropped that tear there. You can remember the time that you left that note and how it meant something to you and what it was. And now with our technology devices, we just kind of press down on it hard and we'll color it whatever color we want to. And at the end of the service, we lock that up and then 9 times out of 10, we don't go back on there anymore. And we go back on there to play games and do other things, but to go back on there to read the words, we're not actually doing that anymore. You know, it would be very interesting to find out just how with new technology has removed and how the Bible sales in this country are declining because everyone is now doing it on a Bible app. Now, I do know that in foreign countries, Bibles are a hot commodity. People are begging for Bibles. I was told a story just tonight of one man who had been praying for a Bible somewhere deep in China for 12 years, praying for a Bible. And he finally heard that somebody was coming and they were going to be 200 miles from him, but they were going to have Bibles. And this man walked the 200 miles just to get a Bible. It is people now that are getting Bibles here taking them over to foreign countries and selling them for high prices because the word of God is good, and they've been anxious and they're waiting to taste and see that the Lord is good. And we who are here have the opportunity to have a Bible or as many Bibles as we want to read the Bible, to walk the Bible, to live the Bible, to go to any church of any denomination that we choose, to pray somebody, to tell anybody that we see about our God, and we close our lips. We can't even praise them. We can't even say thank you out loud because we're sorry. But something else will come in our way, and we'll open our hearts, and we'll open our hands, and we'll let us know. That's my friend over there. I want you to know, you know, that celebrity. I know that entertainer. I know that professional prayer because we want a name drop. But nobody wants a name drop on the name of the Lord anymore. I mean the minority. But we've got to stand as a minority to that majority. We got to keep on preaching all the way through, all the way through. We can't stop. We can't let whatever the world flashes in front of us get our attention to the point that it draws us to the world and not to the Word. Amen? All kinds of different things. We have to be so in the Lord that He will show us how to use the technology of the world, how to use all of the good, the things that are coming to the world that's going to work for the good of the Lord. Again, we cannot let them get so important to us that it pulls us, it draws us like a magnet, draws us away from the Word and into the world. When you find yourself that your God is more is your TV, when you find yourself that your God is your spouse, your God is your car, your job, you spend more time on your job than you do in the Word, than you do talking to the Lord. We can't allow ourselves to be drawn into the world. It is a trick, my sisters and my brothers. And the Word of God tells us that right today in our scripture. It tells us to be careful to follow every command that I'm giving you today. One of the commands that He gives us is to meditate on the Word night and day. Meditate on the Word night and day. Now, I'm not talking about you get spooky and you know, you're strange and nobody can understand you and nobody wants to be around you because, you know, you're just weird and they can't get with what you're trying to say. But I'm talking about you. We're living our life. We're living our life. But all, as I'm living my life, I always make sure also that every move I make, every step I make, I kind of want to run across the Lord. I just want to ask Him. I don't want to lean not to my own understanding. Why? Because I got some time behind me now. And I know that the things will work out different ways than what I thought they were. See, I know that I'm playing through my thoughts. They'll always work out my way. So I want to trust. I trust in the Lord, and I want to hear from the Lord. I want Him to direct my pathway because I don't like getting stumbling and going around these same old stumbling blocks over and over and over again. I do want to learn that lesson, and I want to go to new levels. And somebody right now is saying the same thing. I'm tired of these same old things. I understand that the enemy is going to try to knock me down. I understand that he's going to put stumbling blocks in my way. But I'm tired of falling and tripping over the same one over and over again. I want to go to higher levels. Hallelujah. I want to be able to fight new challenges. Give me something else. If I'm going to stumble, let me stumble because I'm on a higher mountain. I'm going to new ground. Amen? And that's exactly what the Word is telling us. He's warning us. He's preparing us. Don't get caught up in the world. Don't get caught up in the, because that relationship you've been waiting on forever and now he finally looks your way. Don't get caught up in the world. And he said, I'm giving you this today so that you may live. Not that you just may live, but that you may increase and that you may enter into that land that you've been praying about. You may enter into that promise that you've been standing on. He said, God, I'm standing on your oath. I'm standing on your promise. That same promise that your mother prayed for you, that your father prayed for you. Then he reminds us and says, remember how the Lord, your God, led you all the way into your desert? To your desert. just like the children of Israel in the desert for over 40 years. Your desert, how long have you been in your desert? How long have you been over and over again? You finally get out of that relationship and you jump right back into another one. And then you're surprised when this one right here, no better, even worse many times. You're still in the desert. You're still in the desert because you walked a different pathway this time and you moved a couple steps to the left this time. But we're still in that desert. Still in that desert. There's some things that we learn while we're in our desert, you know? We learn that God will humble us. We learn that through it all that he was to protect us. He will feed us. He will clothe us. It even goes to the point that it even says that our clothes did not wear out, neither did our feet even swell. You did not hunger. I fed you with food that you knew nothing of. Hallelujah, I made you trust me for that food daily. I didn't let you harvest it up, store it up. You had to depend on me for every meal that you ate. Right now, somebody's in a desert. And someone, you're waiting for someone to just snatch you out and give you the magical words that'll just get you out. Maybe if I shout hard enough. Maybe if I cry long enough. Maybe if I beg and maybe if I plead. And you're doing all that and you're still there. Now what? Now what do I do? I invite you to lay that aside. You know, you can reach out, and sometimes you just need to just speak that word to somebody. Just get it all out of your system. What you tried to do. How you tried to go around that mountain. How you keep ending up back at the same place. Maybe a few steps back. You know, you can reach me at walkwithmegod@AOL.com, walkwithmegod@AOL.com. Leave your Bible request. I'd be more than happy to send out Bibles. Leave any prayer requests. We can talk about it. Let's get through it. The most important thing is we need to get through all of the pity, all of the things that you're feeling why me about. Why is this happening to me? I don't feel like I deserve it. And I can say that you do. And get past all of that, and let's get to the Lord. And once we get to the Lord, let's allow him to. We're going to let him have that through the pity, right? And let's get to the Lord. Let's get to him telling us our direction. Let's get to him and knowing that our discipline, just like we discipline our kids, that we have to be disciplined. We have to shake some of this sadness, sorrow, and some of the pity. We have to shake some of that off in order to go to our higher levels. Because we couldn't carry this. We can't carry all that dead weight. Sometimes he's trying to get that mess out of your life to get you to where you need to be. To get you where you need to be. You know, we have to pay close attention wherever it is because God has promised us a level of elevation in our life. And the Lord is, we look at Habakkuk, and that is a very good example, Habakkuk 3:19. It tells us that the Lord God is my strength. He's promised us, you may be weak, but I am your strength. And he also, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. You know, I like that phrase, mine high places. In the English Standard version, and also in the New Standard, New American Standard, it actually says that my high places, high places that is designated for you, mine places, mine high places. So what does that mean? First, according to the Theological Dictionary of the Old Testament, high places refer to mountain high sides that were elevated places of worship. Mountain high sides, but they were elevated places of just worship. Sometimes you got to get out of the valley and just find you somewhere, elevated place of worship that you can just worship. You can just praise. You can just take yourself into another level. That is a place, sisters and brothers, that you can go in the Lord, that you forget all about anything that's going on around you. It'll just fade away. Whatever it is, it'll take you to a new place. You know, think of the number of major biblical events that happen on mountains in the scripture. You know, places like Mount Ararat, Mount Sinai, Mount Nebo, Mount Carmel. You know, it's a number of the major events in Jesus' ministry. They happen on mountains. The Mount of Transfiguration, the Mount of Olives, the Mount Calvary, Golgotha. You know, these high places were strategic sanctuaries. They're places of divine revelation. They're places of elevation. Places where heaven and earth meet. You know, one of the most noteworthy and appropriate of which was Mount Moriah in Jerusalem. You know, that's where Abraham offered Isaac. You know the story. It's where Solomon built the temple. It's also where worship eventually centralized under the reigns of King Josiah. Worship. Let's look a little bit at the children of Israel. You know, they also got into trouble at high places. Because in time of rebellion, they worship almost anything and everything at almost every high place they chose. They worship almost anything, right? Ezekiel will tell you about that. You know, those weren't the real high places like a backup high place that he's talking about. The Quebec, he described like in 2 Samuel and in Psalms 18. Those were demonic imitations. And with demonic imitations, there were severe limitations. And then those limitations, although they were trying to imitate the trueness that Habakkuk had talked about. See, Habakkuk wasn't describing mountains of imitation or limitation. But he was describing places of divine revelation, that divine elevation that we were speaking of. You know, anything that God does, the devil's always going to try to imitate. Anything that the Lord does, he's going to try to imitate. So if you're called to do one thing in the Lord, you know, we were speaking about earlier just about it used to be a time that the saints would have lock-ins. And they would have lock-ins, and you go in on a Friday night, and you stay there all night long, and you pray on your face, pray. Somebody was just praying at all times. Well, see, now the enemy come along, and in this day and time, if you can find a lock-in, you notice it's a lot different. See, the saints in the day will come to the lock-in fully dressed, just like they're coming into any other service, ready to pray, ready to get something to knock down some walls. Now, if you can find a lock-in, you will find it a lot different. The saints walk into church in their PJs with their pillow in their arms. Amen? If they come because they said, you know, I got to find a babysitter. I can't find a babysitter in the day. They bought the kids, too, because they wanted the whole household to be blessed. They prayed over the whole community. They prayed over the schools, over the doctors, the preachers, the teachers, the leaders. They wanted the whole community to be blessed. They dare not leave their family out. They brought the kids there, and the kids would know not to sit down and receive the Holy Spirit. Amen? They knew there was something holy going on there. So now if they come in their PJs, they come with their pillows, and basically it's a sleep-in instead of a lock-in. It's no need to be locked in. You sleep anyway. You may say a little prayer and a prayer here, and you wake up and say another prayer, but it's different. It's different. And we wonder why the result is not different. Why are we not getting the same results that we were getting back then? Because we have to check it out. It's limitation. It's limitation. You said we're going to these high mountains. There are limitations because it is an imitation of the real thing. Amen? It's an imitation of the real thing. So there's always going to be limits put on what the devil can do. So the enemy tries to imitate, which limits your power. You're not drawing the power from the Lord as you would as you put your whole heart into it. Same thing with fast. You know, a true Daniel's fast, and are some people going on fast where they just cutting out just little bitty minute things. It's nothing. There's no prayer involved in the fast. You're not sacrificing anything in the fast. And so you're not getting anything out of the fast. All you get out of it is the opportunity to go tell somebody, I've been on a 21-day fast. Isn't that exactly the opposite of what the Lord has told us to do when we fast? Didn't he say fast and pray? Didn't he say fast and pray and not before men that you may go back and brag to tell somebody what you've done, but it's to receive a closeness with the Lord. It's to build a relationship. It's to break down those mountains, those demonic chains that are holding you and binding you in whatever way. You're supposed to come out of there differently. It's like going up on your mountain, your prayer, your elevation. You get something. You come down like Moses, glowing. Hallelujah. Glowing. So I invite us, sisters and brothers, to take out time to make sure, look at your situation. Look and see why your fruit tree, your fig tree is not producing anything. Then I invite you to look around and look around the bottom of the face of your fig tree. Because the same branches that you're watering, which is your little ones, your spouse, whoever it is that you're leading, teachers, you're the ones that are following you, whoever it is, whatever they see you do, that's the life that they're going to trip. Because they can make mistakes on their own and do things like that to add to that. So they're going to do that and more. They're going to do that and more. So are you actually in the right place, in the right position? Or are you actually being limited because you're doing an imitation of the real thing of what God has asked you to do? The word, my high place, my high place. Again, it not only is described by divine revelations and elevations, but it also describes divine ownership. Dominion. Dominion over breaking down that wall. And know that you're through that wall. I may fight other battles and I may struggle again, but I'm through that one. Dominion. Ownership. Hallelujah. That's where our testimony is. When we truly start moving and checking off some goals, knocking down some walls. Not bending out, not bowing down to every time that the flesh says, I want this. Amen? Well, God, you own these heights. You do have the ability. This is yours. You have your own mountain high. You own these heights. It's your element. It's your intimate domain. It's your zone, my sister, my brother. It's the place where he designed you to thrive and not fail. No failure, though. He wants you to thrive at this area and not fail. What keeps bugging you the most? What keeps making your flesh just craving the most? That's the area that he wants you to thrive and not fail. Somebody in your future is going to need to hear your testimony of how you continue and so you found yourself in the right position to receive receive your own high place where you learn how to worship the Lord, where you learn how to praise the Lord, where you learn how that there is no limitations, no imitation, but this is your comfort zone. This is your dominion. This is your divine ownership. This is your place that you can thrive and not fail. There is a place. There is a place. There is a place just for you that you can go and seek your answers. There is a place that you can go and have this world just fade away and you can come into a closer relationship. See, it's not just for Susie or Bob or for Vaughn or for Mary, but this is something that we all must, M-U-S-T, must have in our lives if we intend on being anything of success. It's not monetary. It's not something that someone can sneak in there and give you. But you got to go to the throne by yourself. You got to go to the Lord by yourself. You got to surrender on your own if you plan on surviving in this life, if you're going to strive to survive in this life. You know, if you don't know the Lord as your own personal Lord and Savior, you're working at a disadvantage. You're working at a disadvantage. See, we can't do this by ourselves. You don't have a chance of doing it by yourself. I don't care how far you think you're going in the wrong direction. So I invite you right now just to stop these last few minutes of the broadcast. Let's just share the Lord of the God. I want you to just repeat after me. Open your heart. Believe that God loves you. And just receive whatever it is right now that you're looking for. Amen? Dear Father, I need you in my life. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for me. Please forgive me for my sins and create a clean new heart in me. Renew my spirit so that I can hear your voice and I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Amen. It's just that simple. If you believe what you just said, I congratulate you right now, and I welcome you into the family of God. You have a brand new, victorious life full of God's love to look forward to. God loves you. We are here for you. Again, you can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. I am Minister Vaughn Dillness of San Antonio, Texas. I'll be glad to reach out and help you in any way I can. Pray with you to find a church home in your area. It is important to get in a Bible teaching. Amen. Amen. Try to strive to get to that place where you can survive. Until the next broadcast, this is your host, Minister Vaughn Dillness. I'm signing off tonight from San Antonio, Texas. Wherever you're signing off from tonight, remember, we love you, but God loves you more. Amen. Good night.